Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues and concerns facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got a great show coming up for you tonight. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We want to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Johnny's RV, the home of the sweet deal.
Quit laughing. There you go. You hit it, Tom.
I hit it. Did I hit that note?
You did. You did.
All right. All right.
All
right.
Sponsors. And you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And of course, SCN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join the discussion on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SVN. You can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen to our regularly aired programs via podcast, it's up on most of the podcasting sites. Of course, you can go to the FM Talk 106.5 app and pull up not only the live stream, but you can pull up the podcast there as well. So lots of different ways that you can access the Scuttlebutt. But coming up later this hour on SBN, we'll be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He's going to get us up to speed on the latest offerings from the great patriots out there at Serenity for our veterans, the military, and their families. We're also going to speak with veteran and patriot Dr. Tanya Butler. She's going to give us updates on the myriad of veterans projects that she has dipped her toes into because she's always trying to get veterans back out on the water. And, of course, Tom's tirade on the Black Tulips. You won't want to miss that one.
Yes.
Hey, but first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by a great supporter of our veterans, Mr. Nick DiMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Hey, Nick, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for all that you and the great folks at Ed's do for our military veterans and first responders.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Nick, I tell you, it's really neat to have you guys on board here. And you know, our fight or die road team are back in town training as well.
Oh yeah! Hey, right now on the Food Network, they're playing Pete's episode of the Diners Drive. I mean, the Triple G grocery games right now on the thing that he just competed in Hawaii.
Oh, and the one in Hawaii? That's awesome.
It hadn't been shown. The military. Yeah. It's actually airing right now. I believe that's what I was just told. So,
yeah,
if you're near a TV, check it out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of the local channels. I don't remember which one it is. Maybe one of your people that could tell you.
251 on DirecTV.
251 on Direct
Network.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, what's happening with the Sunset Point and Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Chef?
Everything is going. Everything's happening good. I mean, we got so much stuff going on. We're just happy to be going full force. Folks want to get out. We've got outside dining. Everyone a restaurant is trying to get back to normal, and it's just been a fun time. We got a lot of stuff going on, especially at Panini Pete's. Johnny Stewart, the young man who's worked for us for 10 years, him and his wife, we're actually going to knock his house down and rebuild his house. So we're kind of raising money through the PR Foundation. We'll post that up on all of our Facebook pages for the stores. But we're going to build him a house, him and Crystal. So we're going to work hard at that. We're going to have a pancake breakfast at Ed's, I think. On the 17th, we're having a deal in Fairhope that's on our Facebook pages as well as a fundraiser, and we're just trying to do some good stuff with all this opportunity.
It's really unbelievable, but you guys have made a lot of changes in your restaurants, and I see some changes in some of your menus that are coming down the road, but I'm looking forward to that. But one of the things that I really think we ought to bring up is the fact that you've doubled the outside covered area at Ed's so that more people like to sit out and, you know, look out across the bay and in the afternoons watch the sunset, all right?
Well, yeah, Ed's is such, you know, that location is such a great shot of the bay and being able to see the sunset. And obviously, you can look across and see as many alligators as you choose to see. But we covered that bottom patio. We built that stage out. We're playing a little tunes. We've got that Cadillac Bushwhacker machine. Half of it's for bushwhackers, and the other's for really cool milkshakes for kids with Captain Crunch and all that good stuff on it.
Ooh.
Breakfast is going unbelievable. The new menu with the Kaneka fries.
Oh, yes.
The spicy Golden's mustard is really doing good.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was thinking about.
And you know what? The coleslaw is still free.
It's still free, and it goes with the crackers, and it's something to partake of it while you're waiting on your menu to get there, man.
There's been a cracker shortage.
Huh?
There's been a cracker shortage. We've had to hustle to get some crackers.
Well, you know, I've seen that. Somebody tell me about that in another restaurant in Mobile area.
Man, the supply chain is definitely behind in all the businesses around, you know, not just our business. But we're making the best out of it, and you know, we're in a fun business. We get to feed people and have fun, and you know, we get to celebrate our wins, and we got a lot of new projects on the horizon. Possibly another Ed's in West Mobile, the food hall inside the RSA, and then you know, Pete just won the Nappy Awards on the best chef in the area, and then Squid Ink won best innovative menu.
That
and then,
is awesome.
Of course, Panini Pete's the perennial best lunch spot on the Eastern Shores, you know, continuously wins that award year after year. So we're really, really blessed to have great crews, great guests, and it's not a job. It kind of makes it fun to do what we do.
Yep. You're still looking for a few good people to work, though?
We're always looking for a few good people. It doesn't matter when they sit, Tom, when somebody tells me they're staffed, one of my leaders, I go, no, we're not. Keep hiring.
Keep hiring, buddy.
We're always looking for superstars.
Right.
And then you got to train them right. Just select and train them right.
Yep. And, you know, and some of them you'd like to get that are not trained and doesn't have any experience because you'd like to train them your way.
I like to plan them, and I like to grow them if I can.
There you go. And you do an awesome job with it, buddy. You have done a great job with all of your facilities in the Mobile area. And it's great to hear all the things that's going on. You say something about some music over at Ed's?
We got music at Ed's, and then we'll be announcing more on like all of our. If you look on all of our Facebook pages for the stores, and that's Panini Pete's, Sunset Point, Ed's, Squid Ink, and even Mobtown proper, you'll see all the cool stuff happening. We cross pollinate all those Facebook pages, and you know, hey, if you can help and you want to get involved with helping the PR Foundation build John Stewart a house, I think if you read up on it, you'll want to jump in.
Yeah, it's an awesome menu, and it's really great that Pete has taken, and you and Pete have taken all your facilities and got them involved in all of this. Appreciate having you on board here today, man. Glad to hear all the good information.
Y'all have a great night. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, brother. Thank you. Appreciate what y'all are doing.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Help. I was up in North Alabama and was at a popular chicken wing place.
Uh-oh.
And it took me almost an hour and 15 minutes to get my order. And so they actually shut down an hour early.
Good gracious.
Because they didn't have the staff to keep up with the orders.
Yes, a friend of mine went to a chicken restaurant the other night and pulled up to the little window and they said, "I'm sorry, we don't have any chicken to sell. We've got the sides, but no chicken."
Well, see, yeah, that's a chicken shortage. That's not a worker shortage.
Right. That is so true. All right.
You know how that is.
Yes.
Hey. Anyway, as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, the doc out of the box, Dr. Tanya Butler, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the green book.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number's 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. And, of course, you can always check us out on the FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone or, you know, Apple devices, Google. I think it's up on both. And, of course, check us out on Facebook. And if you like to listen to Tom's tirade, get your blood pressure going there. Tom's tirades are up on castbox.fm. But hey, it is always an interesting segment when we are graced by the doc, who is always out of the box, veteran and patriot Dr. Tanya Butler. Hey doc, thank you for joining us and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. I wouldn't miss my 2 favorite Marines.
All right, thank you, Doc. We appreciate it. But you know, we're talking about a few of the local things that you have going on here since you got back from down at the Key West venue. What's happening with your Team River Runner program now?
Well, I'm so excited. We finally got our shipping container moved and set up and organized, which you know, our pool that we used to train in, so that I could have a safe environment to teach veterans with different disabilities, that was taken away with Hurricane Sally. And so now we have no pool. The property was sold, so we had to move our shipping container. So we got that moved and taken care of. We are up and running. We had our inaugural paddle this past Saturday. And I always tell people, if you want to know what it's like being in the South, we got sunshine to start. We got out on the river, saw the clouds moving in. I said, let's head back. And we got downpoured on. It was a great, interesting paddle. And of course, you know, one of our vets has to stop and videotape it for proof, you know, so that they can see what I put him through.
Right.
But as soon as we pulled out of the water, we had sunshine. And it was a fantastic first paddle back out on the river with some great people. And of course, we rode over to Ed's Seafood Shack, dripping wet, soaked to the bone, and had a good meal and listened to some music afterwards and just made some new friends. And this is what it's all about, you know, putting butts in boats and making new friends out there.
Well, that being said, what can you teach a vet in this regard that would be beneficial to them, Doc?
What can I teach him?
Right.
Well, I can teach him, number one, to stay upright in a kayak.
Okay. That's a good one.
Because we have alligators out there.
Yeah.
And a little splashing around, you know, makes for, you know, good stories. But, you know, there is not a disability, honestly, that we have found that we cannot adapt a kayak to. And so there are a lot of unique issues that people have had due to their military experience. We've had you know, vets who have no fingers, just palms, an amputee. And we have in our national organization, we have a guy who all I got to do is send a picture and he will build something in order to get this vet in the water.
No
kidding. Sometimes a little ingenuity, you know, goes a long way.
That is unbelievable. Yeah, and I was just wondering, you know, what benefit it would be to a vet to be in a kayak. I mean, sure, all of us would like to do that and get out and just spend and have some good time, especially in our Mobile Bay area here, because we've got a little bit of everything going on. Now, what part of the bay do y'all actually utilize these boats in?
Actually, anywhere around here. The beautiful thing is that we're surrounded by water and we have so many options. I mean, we paddle anywhere from, you know, over Mississippi. We have been safety boaters for some races over there at the Battle on the Bayou, Pascagoula to, you know, the Delta, down to Fish River, down to Gulf Shores, and into Pensacola. So we really try to cover the Gulf Coast as long as it's, you know, feasible. We have so many veterans along the Gulf Coast, and we're one of the only organizations that has the ability and has the boats to get anyone out on the water despite any disability.
Oh, okay. Okay. So in other words, they don't have to, there's no restrictions on what types of disabilities that you can utilize it within the kayak.
I haven't found one yet. And the great thing about Team River Runner is that we have a leadership program. And so anyone who is interested in becoming a leader and becoming a guide, we have national programs, and I teach here how to move up the ranks. I teach basic skills to advanced skills to how to teach other vets. You know, we do our governing organization is the American Canoe Association. And we have instructors that, you know, we contract out to certify us in things like adaptive paddling into different levels of whitewater to flatwater ocean kayaking. And we make that happen. So anyone who wants to become a leader within Team River Runner and become a guide and an instructor, I will teach them and also send them to national clinics and programs. And I'll tell you, all of this we do for free. For the veteran, we try to break down every barrier for participation. We, you know, we fundraise and we make sure that we take care of everything. They don't have to have a kayak. They don't have to have anything. We've got it all.
Well, that's one of the questions I was going to ask you. And what kind of monetary cost would be involved for a veteran that would be interested in partaking of this event?
Zero.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, what are your plans for this year then?
Well, really, it's to try to at least get one paddle a month out there. You know, this is a volunteer organization and, you know, some of us are still working. And, you know, I'm trying to rebuild the chapter here on the Gulf Coast. It's difficult when you have a year out and you can't do anything to try to bring people back together. So we're working on that. I'm trying to get the word out so vets know that this is there for them. And there is great healing that happens on the water.
Well, how can a vet contact you?
Our main way, for those of us, you know, who don't care that the Russians are listening to us, we use Facebook. Our Team River Runner South Alabama Facebook page. I post our events and, you know, updates on different things. If they don't want to do Facebook, I just created an Instagram account. It's Team River Runner SA for South Alabama. And then you can email us at mobile.al@teamriverrunner.org.
Oh, okay, that's neat. Well, that being said, now you're not charging any of these vets for any of these services. Do you have a foundation or something that companies or individuals could donate to help put on these events?
Yes, you can go to teamriverrunner.org, the national website, and on there you'll see chapters. At the very top, you do a drop down, you'll find South Alabama. You can donate on that website, and we'll put a donate on our Facebook page that'll go directly to our chapter. So I will tell you the great thing about Team River Runner is that 90% of all donations go straight to the veterans, to all the local chapters.
That's awesome.
So unlike a lot of organizations out there, only 10% goes to administrative costs. The rest goes straight to the veterans.
Okay, that is neat. You know, and that gives us some assurance to the people that are interested in donating, to the fact that they're not paying some high-powered person somewhere up there driving around in a new Cadillac or something.
Right, and doing very expensive team building for, you know, their executives.
Right, yes. And we know of a lot of our veterans organizations that have problems in those areas. I mean, these people are making $1 million a damn year being a president of a veterans event of some sort. That really don't make sense to me.
No, and when veterans need help, they get a hat or a T-shirt. You know, we're not about that. I'm going to give you a free T-shirt if I have them, but I really just want to get your butts in a boat.
There you go.
We just want to promote health and healing and camaraderie, you know, by getting you on the water.
All right. And again, how do they contact you?
You've got our Facebook, Team River Runner South Alabama. You've got our email, mobile.al@teamriverrunner.org. Or our Instagram, it's teamriverrunner_SA. And our next paddle will be July 31st. It's on a Saturday at 9 a.m. I have instructions on our Facebook page and event there to contact me if you're interested. And I haven't determined which river we're going to hit yet because I'm out scouting some new places to paddle.
There you go. Okay. Thank you, Doc. And stay out of the box.
Oh, always outside the box.
We always talk about the doc in the box. This is the doc out of the box. Thank you, Dr. Tanya. You're doing an awesome job. We appreciate what you're doing for our veterans, and we appreciate you and your service because you are a veteran. Not a Marine, but a veteran.
No, I'm a U.S. Army.
There you go. Hey, that's a good outfit, too. I like that outfit.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a blessed one.
Thank you.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans, for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, and we're glad that you have joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want
you, Tom.
Yes, we certainly want to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, RC lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Johnny's RV, the home of the sweet deal.
Hey, and it is always a privilege to be joined on SBN by a great supporter of our military and veterans, Mr. Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Hey, Bill, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Well, thank you, Cal. It's a pleasure being here. It's always good seeing you guys.
It's really neat, too. And I've noticed there's a lot of things going on out there in the last couple of years around the Serenity Funeral Home and Garden facility there on Old Pascagoula Road. And, hey, man, you got some new buildings out there. What the heck?
Well, you know, we're it's kind of like eating an elephant. You got to take a bite at a time.
Okay.
You know, it's
that's a good one.
You know, Rome wasn't built overnight. So, yes, we're moving forward. We're doing a lot of improvements. We just recently resurfaced the parking lot, striped it. It looks brand new. We're in the process of trying to get some new bathrooms built.
Okay.
Trouble is trying to find labor.
Right, right.
You know, finding contractors at a reasonable price.
Yes.
But, yes, we're moving forward. We've got new signage in our gardens, directing people which garden is what in Serenity Memorial as well as Lawn Haven.
Well, you know, the other thing that I see is happening now is we're starting to see some of the recognition of our loved ones that we lost during the COVID event here in the COVID pandemic, and people are starting to decide now to to have a ceremony or have a welcoming or however you define that.
Yes, we are seeing the numbers increasing. People coming out, people feeling more comfortable, more safe,
right,
to come and share grief with their family and friends.
Well, we had the occasion with the Marine Corps League detachment here, and our partner Cal here knows this gentleman, to have a ceremony there for Al Pulaski. And Al has passed like 2 years ago.
Yes.
And it's taken them this long to try to get the family together so that everybody felt safe and get everybody in town that could travel with the travel restrictions we had. But you guys did an outstanding job, and we were proud to be able to participate with the Honor Guard to recognize our brother.
Well, I was certainly impressed with your group. They did an outstanding job recognizing this this veteran, this hero, and giving him his just military honors.
What an awesome gentleman. He always played taps and played his bugle and Marine Corps hymn at our meetings, and it was neat to see that his daughter was able to get an actual bugler to be there and handle the event and play some of his favorite songs that he likes to play.
Yeah, it was awesome. It really was.
That was cool. That was really neat. Well, you guys did a good job. I'd like to let you know about that. But now you have a new event center on site there. What have we got going on there?
It's still somewhat new. We're seeing families using it more and more. It is a beautiful facility. People can come out and see it anytime they wish.
Okay. Well, now you said use it. Is this something that you guys are you lease it out or rent it out?
We do. We have families that may utilize it after a service. You know, most people don't have a house to seat 60 people, 70, 80 people for a meal.
Oh, okay.
So they can use our event center. We can seat 100 people. We have a very fine facility. We have a caterer's kitchen there to facilitate a meal, and people can use it. And when the good thing is, when it's over, they just walk out. They don't have to worry about cleaning up. You know, imagine trying to clean up your home after 60 people have eaten there?
100 people have been there and trying to feed them as well.
Exactly.
But now, that being said, what kind of money are we talking about here? I mean, is this a reasonable figure?
It's very reasonable, Tom. Monday through Friday before 3 o'clock, it's just $300.
Woo.
Yeah, for a facility such as is really a bargain.
Well, now if it would be after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got to consider all the power, lights, electricity, and everything.
Right, personnel. So it is a little, but you can actually use the event center for 3 hours for as little as $300.
That's awesome. Hey, that is really unbelievable. Well, can anybody use the building?
Absolutely. We've had it not only for funeral repasses, but we've had wedding receptions there. We've had baby showers. We've had class reunions. So it is a wonderful facility. Birthdays. Yeah. We had a birthday this past Sunday, as a matter of fact, for a lady that turned 80.
Good gracious.
Yeah. So,
well, how far in advance notice do you need to in order to try to reserve this?
Just give us a call a couple of days before. Of course, you would want to, as soon as you find out you would like to utilize it, you would want to contact us to make sure we don't already have an event planned.
Okay, so they actually need to call, say, in advance and book it, though.
Sure, absolutely, because it is getting more and more in demand, but we could certainly work out something.
Well, now you said something about food. Now, can the people you could seat, 80 to 100 people there?
Yes. We can seat 100 people.
And feed them?
Yes.
Now, that being said, can you bring your own food to serve, or does it have to be catered? Do you have a kitchen there?
That is the only caveat. That's the only rule that we have, really, is that it has to be a licensed caterer. Now, that can be, say, Chick-fil-A or any other restaurant. But, you know, this day and time, I can't afford Aunt June to bring her chicken salad up there and get 70 people to the hospital.
Oh, okay.
So that, for obvious reasons, that's why we do. And that is really about the only.
So you just need a licensed caterer to serve the event.
Yes.
Cater the event. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable, though, that you can, you can fix it for whatever you want. I mean, you can serve hot dogs, have somebody come in and serve hot dogs. Do they have a kitchen now, or just a place for
caterers? It is a caterer's kitchen. It's not a kitchen to prepare food, but it is a warming oven. It's an oversized freezer and refrigerator, a dishwasher, and a rolling bar on casters that can be rolled out, we have a huge back porch to that.
Okay.
That we've had bands to play there, DJs, and so it's a multi-use building.
Unbelievable. But I guess with that big roll-around tray and all, you could roll out desserts or whatever, and our birthday cakes.
Absolutely.
Or whatever you wanted to.
And we have a sound system. We have a audio-visual system. And we have a 10-foot drop-down screen that you can show.
Oof.
PowerPoint.
Well, now, do you
slides.
Need to hire somebody to do that, or how does that
no,
work?
No, we take care of all that.
In other words, if they wanted to utilize that, then that would that be part of the charges?
Sure, that would be a part of it.
Okay, all right. So you have to charge something then to have the personnel there to do that. So I certainly understand it. But then you have to pay people to clean it up.
Yes, sure.
And
do.
Prepare it for whatever services or whatever events be needed there at that time, but that is unbelievable. Who would have thought that you guys would have a facility like that available?
We're kind of planning for the future. People are needing outlets like that. They're needing facilities that are convenient for them after a service. But again, it's open to the community. If you have a party or an event that you want to have, we can certainly accommodate you. Right. You can also see the photos of the event center by going to SerenityEventCenter.com, and you'll see the beautiful photos of inside of the building.
Where do they go now to see this?
SerenityEventCenter.com.
Okay, now
that is separate from our SerenityFuneralHome.com website.
But then you can go to that and give
Absolutely.
Us that again.
Yes,
and also give us phone numbers out there who they need to call and who they need to talk to.
Yes, you can call us at 251-653-4781 or go to SerenityFuneralHome.com. And again, the event center is simply SerenityEventCenter.com.
SerenityEventCenter.com. Mm-hmm. Bill Clark, the one and only from Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, one of our fine sponsors and a great veterans advocate, and takes care of our vets and their families. We appreciate everything you do, brother.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Close it out for us, Cal.
Hey, yeah, you can always check out ScuttlebuttNetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on the black tulips. You want to listen to this and all that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
They were called the Black Tulips, and through much of the 1980s, these special aircraft were the silent couriers of death that would deliver the grim harvest of the Soviet Union's war in Afghanistan to families back in Mother Russia. Now, historically, the Russians go to extraordinary lengths to honor their patriotic heroes. Every day throughout Russia in the 1980s and in towns and villages, big and small, wherever Soviet veterans of World War II might gather, remembrance was a common occurrence. The heroes of the great patriotic war would place their medals on their chests and march out to do their daily business, where they would be greeted with respect by the public. Men, women, young children would stand out of gratitude for their service and sacrifice in defeating Nazi Germany. On May Day, Red Square would be filled with those veterans covered with medals, receiving the cheers of the adoring crowd. Not a day went by where these veterans were not heralded as heroes by a country that held them in great esteem for their decades of deeds. It was a stark picture of contrast for the Soviet veteran of the Afghan War, for this was a war which did not exist.
official policy of the Politburo was that for more than 5 years, they were not fighting a war. There had been no invasion of Afghanistan, and there were not 120,000 combat troops there. There was no carpet bombing of mud brick villages. There was no wanton destruction of the Afghan countryside. There was no war, and no one was being killed or maimed in the war that did not exist. And so it was surprising when the 10 coffins began unloading from the Black Tulips, which delivered that cargo with explicit instruction for the mothers of the dead. They were not to mention that their sons had died in Afghanistan. Their sacrifice would not be noted in the history books or on their headstones. They would not be awarded medals as their predecessors had because there was no war. The mothers would be denied the traditional period of grieving and preparation for sending their son on to the next life. By communist decree, the mothers of Russia were stripped of their dignity and not permitted to acknowledge their sons' heroism, sacrifice, and patriotic duty. But after a half decade of war, the system of total control that Lenin and Stalin had created, and which had been brutally enforced over the next 40 years, would begin to crack under the weight of a war that did not exist. The mothers no longer stood by silent, and veterans of the Afghan war began to build a life as civilians. They told stories and sang songs of the secret war, from the invasion to the storming of Amin's palace. They spoke of comrades fallen in battle and sang of the Black Tulips and their cargo of death. But beyond the stories and the songs were the scores of young veterans now roaming the streets of Russia without arms and legs, limbs lost in a war that did not exist. And while their enemy, the Mujahideen, had the promise of 72 virgins and a one-way ticket to paradise, the unbelieving invaders had only the promise of the Black Tulips and the 10 coffins with a small window. And the mothers wondered if the body inside the 10 box was truly their son, but hesitant to risk the sight and smell of opening the coffin to see it for herself. So stark was the image of the mourning mother that one of the songs the veteran sang back home was of the mother opening the casket to find another boy's body inside. And even if her worst fears were confirmed, she could do little more to explain his sacrifice outside of, quote, fulfilling his international duty. There were no medals, no parades, no May Day remembrances of glorious sacrifices for the Soviet Union or Mother Russia. There was only an unceremonious retreat from Kabul as the world watched in premature jubilation at the defeat of the Red Army on the field of battle, which would ultimately lead to the collapse of the Soviet Union years later. After 10 years of war and 30,000 Soviet deaths, Afghanistan would return to the Wild West warlord rule, which marked much of its history and which had repelled empires for time immeasurably. It would also, of course, mark the beginning of the radical Islamic terrorist movement, which would find its way to American shores on September 11, 2001, and which would lead the United States to invade Afghanistan over a decade later to unseat the Taliban. It would also bring American troops to the deserts of Iraq, where over the course of a decade of war, we and our allies would unseat a tyrannical dictator and bring free and democratic elections to a people which had never seen the like. Much like heroes of the great generations had done over a half a century before in places like Japan and Germany and fascist Italy. And like those heroes, the veterans of Afghanistan came home as victors to ticket tape parades, marching bands, medals on their chest, and the welcome arms of the American public. Unfortunately, the sacrifice of today's generation of veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan are being slowly relegated to the dustbins of history as the progressive administration of Barack Hussein Obama and his allies in Congress pander to their pacifist base and their pseudo-allies in Baghdad and Kabul. Just this week in Iraq, the cities of Fallujah and Ramadi, which were liberated from terrorist control at the cost of over 100 U.S. Marines, fell back into the hands of the Al-Qaeda-backed ISIL. In his first remarks since the fall of the cities, Secretary of State John Kerry emphatically rejected sending U.S. troops back into the country to combat the terrorists. As he put it, quote, "This is their fight, and for once I agree with the traitorous sellout bastard. Because it is this administration's fault that we pulled out of Iraq without completing our job. It is the Iraqi government's fault for pushing us out. And all our boots on the ground in Iraq would accomplish now is to fill the next generation of Black Tulips with our sons and daughters as they are left stuffed in the tin coffins for this administration of cut-and-run cowards. Hell no. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Did I say no? I thought I did.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Load up, sir!
Load up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Well, you know, Tom, you threw a lot of good information out there. Of course, that was actually done about 6 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, all you have to do is substitute one administration for the other and listen to what this administration is saying about what's going on in Afghanistan. And you've got the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, the Psaki bomb.
Yeah, Psaki bomb.
Saying, oh, no, we're not going to have any victory parades for our military when we pull out of Afghanistan. Because, in their words, there was no military victory.
Oh, oh,
are you kidding me?
Oh, oh. Man, are you...
Here's the thing. There was a military victory in Afghanistan.
Right.
The problem is the politicians who wanted to change what exactly the goal was.
Right. Right.
Until eventually, and I'm sorry, if all they were going to do was leave them there, the troops that, you know, our troops, to basically be some sort of police force... Well, fine. Let's get them out of there. The problem is they didn't have the stones. And this is going back to the Obama administration. Of course, we're dealing with Obama Part 2 right now.
Right. Right.
But the reality is if you didn't have the stones to win it in the first place.
Right.
And then you let ISIS or ISIL take your pick. Remember, that was the JV team.
Yeah, that's JV team.
Come in right. And fill that void. And you didn't have the stones to fight them. Now, President Trump did. But, of course, now it's a full tuck and run. And, of course, we hear stories now, Tom, of us leaving all types of supplies and equipment and bases.
Right.
And the Taliban's just taking it over.
Right. They were in there the afternoon when we pulled out of that big base in the morning.
Well, you know, they probably were holding up those, you know, those little guard shacks. They were probably just waving,
right,
as we were taking off.
I would. I have no doubt.
And of course, you know, I am not one, and you and I have talked about it, just like you did in the tirade. If the politicians are not going to support our troops,
right,
in the military mission,
right.
Then they just need to get them out of there.
Right. Don't put them in war. Don't put them in a place that is war that they don't want to recognize.
Right.
Hey, when our people are having to shoot at other people and our people are getting killed, it's a damn war.
That's it. And, you know, of course, and you see it right now with, I mean, where have you heard the stories about this pullout from Afghanistan in the mainstream media?
What media? What media? We don't have a true media anymore.
Well, no, actually, it's called Pravda.
Pravda. There you go. Yep, they just spell it different.
Because they're very highly educated, so they can spell things differently than the average American. But the reality is, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, we're dealing with a situation where all of the blood and sacrifice that we put forth in Afghanistan, not only is it all going to go for naught,
right?
But we're not even going to be able to recognize those who served and came back.
That's so
and
true.
It's just horrific because I was watching, I've been watching a lot of documentaries on World War II in Korea, even World War I, and there was always recognition for those troops.
Yes, always.
Always. Right. Now, did we recognize the politicians who screwed them?
No.
You know, that maybe there's a different place
right.
for them.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a place for them.
Well, that's up the creek without a paddle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, swimming with their hands tied behind their back.
There you go. Hey, don't go any further because remember, they're all listening, Tom.
You know what else? They're not going to get no cherry if they're coming after me.
Oh, here we go with a cherry again. Anyway. Hey, thanks for listening. Hey, please keep America in your prayers. And maybe even, Tom, God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
And for all of our fine veterans out there that haven't been properly recognized, hoorah.